The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
The Johor Petroleum Development Corporation aims to transform the southern state into a downstream oil and gas hub. Does that imply Johor will have to compete with or complement Singapore? And given the suppressed oil prices, what are the challenges facing JPDC in realizing its investment potential of over $80 billion US? This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we have Muhammad Yazid Jaafar, CEO of JPDC. Good morning, Yazid.
Good morning, Han.
Now, JPDC wants to make Johor the Rotterdam of Asia. Tell us about the scope of this massive project.
Thank you. PIPC is the name of the bigger project, if you like, that encompasses of 20,000 acres or 80 square kilometers. That's massive as far as Malaysia is concerned. If you talk about the size in China or Saudi, for that matter, that's considered quite normal. But for Malaysia, it's massive. Of which the main tenant that we have within PIBC, within the larger Pengerang Integrated Petroleum Complex, is Petronas' own RAPID, which takes up around 25% of the space. The one that we're working on, PIBC, we do have a team. The team is actually, the concept is an integrated offering. So what that means is from the moment the oil lands, which then it requires a terminal, this is where Dialog comes in. It behaves, it acts as sort of a gate that opens up to the hinterland. And the hinterland, then you do have a lot of this petrochemical processing, including refineries, and that's where Petronas comes in. And Petronas, in our plans, is one of the several sort of projects that we have in mind to make sure to turn PIPC into what it is capable of by the end of the master plan.
So the Pengerang Integrated Petroleum Complex, it's located just a few kilometers away from Singapore's border, right? So is this relationship between PIPC and what Singapore has to offer, is that going to be competitive or complementary?
It's funny you say that because, we view it, being close to Singapore, as both a blessing and a curse as well. Blessing in a sense because we do have really matured sort of trading centres, centre for oil and gas, which we can easily leverage on. So we don't have to reinvent the wheels for all the support services. We do want to have those to be located in Malaysia as well, but we do not have to do that in a rush. We can actually buy our own time to make sure that we have the support services in place, especially finance, the way we want it to be. We don't have to rush because we can actually leverage whatever Singapore is offering at the moment. It is a curse because then it's so easy for people to compare within what Singapore is offering and what we are offering. So on that note, we are actually both complementing and competing with Singapore at the same time. We complement where we know we can actually have a bigger win, for lack of a better word, when we cooperate with Singapore. An example here is we can leverage on the trading activities, the support activities, and we sort of find our own space when it comes to petrochemicals.
But a lot of this is still potential at this point in time, right? There's still a lot of ramping up that PIPC has to do. So between now and then, what's your pitch to investors then?
The biggest sort of, obviously, from the price competitiveness perspective.
So you're cheaper.
We're cheaper, we're more competitive. But we do offer space for expansion. That's the second offering. I mean, we are not limited by space. And thirdly, obviously, this is still sort of new. We welcome a lot of these potential investors to have a say in how they want their setup to be. Yeah, because then we're not tied up with limited space. We say, yeah, if you require this space for growth, if you require this space for your special supplier, for example, then let's make up that space.
Okay, so while you may be cheaper than Singapore, but how do you then compete with the recently revived Asia Petroleum Hub at Tanjung Bin on the other side of Johor? And that one has got China's CREC involved over there.
I can't really comment on the APH, but based on the study that we did back in 2012, the region is big enough to cater for around 26 million barrels, 26 cubic meters of storage facilities. So if you take 10 million cubic meters from Singapore, and we plan to introduce around 10 million, you still have a balance of 6 million Yeah. So I think the size of the pie is big enough for everyone to come in.
But that study was done in 2012, though. And as we all know, oil prices have just tanked since then, right? So do your mandates from 2012, do they still hold in today's suppressed oil price environment, this new normal?
When you talk about storage, surprisingly, when the oil price is low, the demand for storage goes up. We've been in a situation like contango. What that means in trading terms is we expect the price of the future to be higher than the price of today.
So they hold.
Mm. They require space. And, you know, we were surprised, for example, our investor, Dialogue, the whole place is sold out. You know, they are looking at opportunities to grow further. And, you know, we do believe that the space is big enough for everyone to play, especially in the sort of lower for longer oil price scenario.
So based on the current activities of those involved in PIPC, they hold a view that oil prices will see further upside?
Well, it depends on who you ask and what time of the day you ask that question.
Well, what do you say?
Well, I'm guided by the general consensus. At the moment, we're looking at around 55 to 60 around this year, and it remains to be probably on the high 50s for the next couple of years. Mm. I think that's good enough for us to move forward, to plan forward.
Now, let's talk about the investment potential then. $85 billion for PIPC. What about committed and realized investments? Where are you on that?
Well, we are still in phase one, and our focus has been to deliver phase one because I think the rest of the world is watching whether we can actually deliver what we promised together with Petronas for 2019. Well, the good news is Petronas is very committed, so are we. So it's the state of Johor to make sure that it does happen in 2019. So that's phase one. We're looking at around $27 billion kind of commitment. So you're right, we still have a long way to go. But mind you, the master plan that we have spelled out the end game to be around 2035, 2050 kind of horizon. So this is still a long way to go. But, you know, we are starting now to talk to other investors as well for them to consider.
Now, you talk about making sure you deliver on time, but yet with Rapid, we saw that well-publicized delays initially also to come on back in 2016, and then now it's pushed back all the way to 2019. So what's to say that your other key mandates may not suffer similar fates as well?
Well, I can't really comment. Well, I can, but I think Petronas has the final say in terms of how they decide to move forward with the project. The FID, which is the final investment decision, was only made in 2014. So that was the green light, and that's when the whole project for Petronas actually started in earnest. And obviously, it's almost impossible for you to finish by 2016, within 2 years. Within 5 years, that's always been the time frame that we've been talking about. So the project started in 2014. Once the project has started, he has not suffered any delay. And God willing, I think we're looking at 2019 quarter one as the date when you can start. And based on that experience, I think the lesson that we learn here is really not to announce until the final investment decision has been made.
Right.
So that will manage sort of expectation.
All right, so perhaps some initial jumping of the gun there. But as it stands, I think Petronas is taking up only about 25% of the total developed area in Pengerang. So who do you have on tap, perhaps, to take up the remaining 75%? Any names that you can drop here?
Well, that will be jumping the gun then.
You caught me. Yeah.
Well,
so you have learned your lesson. Well,
we have. But we do have a couple of candidates in mind. But the interesting thing to note here is when you talk about what we're trying to do here, we're not looking at refinery sort of project in isolation. We're looking at the whole sort of integrated offering from refinery all the way down to petrochemicals. And that's a challenge that we are facing. We might be able to find a good refiner, but the rest of the value chain that needs to come in at the same time. Yeah, so we're looking at all the various options that we have at the moment.
Because we understand that Maida is helping you attract investors from Europe, and you've been quoted as saying before that you expect major investors, say the size of Petronas, to come in only post-2019, right? So is that still the case, very much a wait-and-see approach that's being adopted out there?
I think it's a bit of both as well. They're looking at whether can we deliver what we say we're going to do with Petronas. So that's wait and see. Once we proven that our metal, that we can actually deliver what we say we're going to do, then they'll be looking at their economics in terms of does it make sense for them to go in there and then? Yeah, which I think downstream together with the petrochemical offering, that's the place to be at the moment. And obviously, we're looking at in terms of competition, in terms of supply. If we have two similar projects going on at the same time, you can imagine the demand on the labor, the demand on the materials as well. So I think it's timely for them to come in for the next phase rather than going on at the same time with phase one with Petronas.
But obviously, the involvement from Saudi Aramco that grabbed headlines earlier this year, $7 billion said to be invested into the Rapid project, which is a part of the larger PIPC. Did JPDC have a role to play in that deal?
Well, we like to claim we have, but really, I think it's a commercial sort of involvement between Petronas and Saudi Aramco. I think they've done a good job. Saudi is Aramco is actually a global brand. It helps sort of as far as our reputation. The prominence of PIMPC has been somewhat elevated when Petronas got together with Aramco.
Coming up in just a bit, we will discuss some of the on-ground challenges that you have in making sure that PIPC becomes a success. I'm speaking to Muhammad Yazid Jaafar, CEO of the Johor Petroleum Development Corporation.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Muhammad Yazid Jaafar, CEO of the Johor Petroleum Development Corporation. Now, Yazid, despite the name, Johor Petroleum Development Corporation, you are actually a federal unit, right? So tell us about the structure here.
Well, despite, what we are the anomaly, our name's Johor Petroleum Development Corporation, we're not an agency of state of Johor. Have nothing to do with petroleum, developing petroleum reserves. We have to do with developing sort of the downstream side of the petroleum. And we're not a corporation. We're actually a government agency. So don't believe what you hear, Johor Petroleum Development Corporation. We are actually a federal government agency trying to develop industrial park to serve the downstream industry.
But you do have the state chief minister, Dato' Muhammad Khalid Nordin, as the co-chairman of JPDC, and you also have several other state officials on your board as well. So given that JPDC, as you mentioned, is a federal unit, how do you go about making sure that the interests of the state government is also upheld?
For that particular reason, that's why we have an equal representative in our board of directors. And for the reason, this project will easily take up quite a lot of resource in the state. An example here is we will be involving around 20,000 acres or 8,000 hectares, 80 square kilometers of land. Obviously, state of Johor needs to be there to make sure that the development happens within their aspiration as well. And we're going to be using a lot of water, which is within state ambit when it comes to control. Hence why we do have, like I said, quite a fairly big representative of Johor State within our board member.
But speaking about that land, back in 2014, PIPC was marred by that land dispute. A unit of MPHB Capital filed a suit against the Johor State Government and Petronas as well. What's the latest on that?
I was made to understand that there are a couple of cases are still pending, still within court. So, I understand that this is one of them as well. I can't really say much on what's the latest status. I understand that it's going through an appeal process at the moment.
But given that this is a federal project, though, how big of a risk are these lawsuits when it comes to the success of PIPC?
The land, the areas that we're looking at are big enough. When this is something that we, as I mentioned earlier, we do provide room for growth, and depending on how you sort of lay out your development, this piece of land could be for the future growth. So it doesn't actually hamper the project as far as I can say.
So it doesn't keep you up at night?
Not at the moment.
Not yet.
Not yet. Maybe in 30 years time.
All right. But what about, you know, say, when it comes to managing the expectations of your stakeholders, right? Because back in June 2013, Petronas actually blamed the Johor state government for that delay of Rapid's completion, right? So, you know, how do you manage all these stakeholders, their interests, given this massive, massive undertaking?
Well, the short answer is not easy.
Does that keep you up at night?
It used to. Still is from time to time. You know, managing stakeholders, that's always been, all our lives is about managing people. So in this case, we do have a lot of expectation. Now given the wisdom of hindsight, I think it was about managing the expectation from our stakeholders, in this case Petronas, versus what state is looking at. So there was a bit of a mismatch, I think, which was quickly resolved soon after. So, it's good for our learning moving forward so that, hopefully we do not repeat this with the future investors as well.
And, now that you've got Aramco on board and hopefully, dozens more to come, then, what are the lessons learned or how do you go about managing not just domestic interests, but foreign ones as well? Because it is a hot topic right now, right? Given this massive influx of investments from abroad. Right. How do you make sure that their interests are taken care of versus what Malaysia wants to achieve?
It is a balance of act of some sort. If you look at what attracts investors to come to Malaysia, or in particular, what attracts them to come to PIPC, to Pengerang Integrated Petroleum Complex, but from what the government sort of has given assurance on the strength, the state of our economy at the moment, PIPC, we do have a unique offering that can only equal by Singapore as far as geographical advantages are concerned. But at the same time, I think we do offer, space, flexibility for them to design their own plans moving forward within PIPC, which then you cannot get that within Singapore. Singapore is quite strict in terms of the use of the land, and we do have an advantage over there. Yeah, so. We do know they are quite concerned about what will happen with their investment when they come to Malaysia. I think we do have a stable enough sort of economy moving forward to give them assurance that their investment will be safe in Malaysia. Mm. It's one of the key sort of indicators that any investors will be looking at anyway in terms of political stability.
Economic and political stability, but what about labour supply then? Because I've heard from two individuals who have been involved with PIPC, dating even as far back as 2012, 2013, essentially noting an over-reliance on foreign labour. They're coming in by the thousands, cheap foreign labour. Again, going back to the issue of safeguarding the local interest, what do you say to that? Where are the jobs, the purportedly 8,600 jobs for locals?
That's a very, very good question, actually, Han. But we need to understand when we talk about labour, it depends on the phases, the development phase. For example, at the moment, it is actually construction phase. You do not expect, for example, the requirement at the moment is 50,000. I think we expect there'll be 60,000 sort of workers on site to help build Rapid. And a lot of these numbers are actually hard labour. If you look at the population of Pengerang itself, the Pengerang, the constituent sort of, constituency Pengerang, it has a population of 30,000. So if you have all the grandmas, grandpas working on Rapid, it's still not enough. So we do have, we do need to get sort of outside help in this case. But obviously we will have exhausted our local sort of capability first before we resort to outsiders. But mind you, all these are all hard sort of hard work, pure labor, kind of lifting bricks, in the hot sun. Kind of a type of job. All the 3Ds that our locals are not really up to it. So that's the phase one in terms of construction. When it comes to operation phase, the figures have somewhat actually been reduced. Instead of 8,600 for Petronas, it has been reduced to 4,600 workers employees. Mm. And we are trying to get, we are helping, working together with Tronas, working together with the suppliers, in this case the universities, to make sure that our local graduates are up to scratch when it comes to, up to the mark when it comes to working with the plant that Petronas is building at the moment.
All right, now Yazid, also in speaking to those folks who have been working down at PIPC, they speak about security as being another ongoing concern. One oil and gas executive told me that they don't want to leave their equipment in Pengerang because it's much safer in Singapore. Apparently theft and even fights among the workers down there, that appears to be a problem. So how do you ensure that security is upheld across that sprawling, 22,000 acres?
That's a good question. I think that probably at the back of everyone's mind when we have a project as big as this. Well, to their credit, Petronas, they have actually engaged the services of our police force, the GOF, the General Force. They have around, I think, close to 150 officers on site to help them with crowd control. So having said that, what happens beyond Petronas, to address that particular issue, we have actually a committee that looks after the safety, security and health as well as environment aspects of the whole area. And that particular committee is being chaired by the state secretary because it involves a lot of large part in state. And we do have all the countries security agencies, including health, including environments as well, as part of the committee members. Moving forward, not just based on Petronas, we're looking at the potential size as well. And we do have, again, a plan of how to address this when the project progresses along.
Now, when it comes to government projects, especially one that's of this scale, often, at least in the public consciousness, wastage comes to mind, right? How do you ensure that PIPC is truly efficient, truly using up the federal government's resources to the best of your ability?
Right. I can only comment on the federal projects, which is the infrastructure projects that we have. I'm sure Petronas, you know, with their ongoing effort to cut costs, to improve efficiency, you know, they have sorted out. As far as the government is concerned, we do have a special platform, a monitoring platform, chaired by none other than the Chief Secretary of Malaysia himself. With all the KSUs, with all the Chief Secretaries for each agencies or ministries which have projects within Pengerang, reporting to him. And we question even anything out of ordinary, then that will be questioned in terms of project amount, project delays, project delivery dates, and project challenges. Mm-hmm. It has been quite an eye-opening as far as I'm concerned, because we've got 25 separate packages going on at the same time, and we are almost on schedule, which is unbelievable. I'm really, really proud to be part of this whole journey of 25 packages.
Here we are. We've got Budget 2018 coming up. Do you have anything on your wish list for the Prime Minister?
Well, we are looking at getting closer and closer to the finishing line of 2019. The hope that we get from we're hoping that federal government will continue to support in terms of making sure the fund will be there in 2018. This project is given a priority to make sure that we do have the world-class, the right facilities at the right time to support the project, which is Pengerang Integrated Urban Complex.
Well, we certainly wish you all the best in that endeavour. Thank you so much. I've been speaking to Muhammad Yazid Jaafar, CEO of the Johor Petroleum Development Corporation. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.